fantasy, sports, and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has arrived for me. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, back in the place to be doing what I do for the do it for you. Only because I'm the best one that can do it. I know JT tries, but he comes up short sometimes. You know, it is what it is. He's a great orator, but I am the magnificent. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics Saturday Edition. I just love tooting my own horn and being
no kidding.
Oh, were you about to say something else? I think you were about to say something else.
I'm not saying anything.
Well, we know that. You never say anything of significance unless it's, you know, prompted from me, of course.
Okay.
But today, ladies and gentlemen, today, myself and Jerry will discuss the NFC East and who will be at the bottom, who will finish on top. The two of us will also touch on the real-world issues as it pertains to the Mike Brown situation. We're going to probably open up with that, get the seriousness out, and touch for a few minutes. Then we're going to move on sports and go there. Also, there was a signing in the NFL today. San Antonio Holmes going to the Chicago Bears, which is very dangerous if San Antonio Holmes has his head on straight. I don't know. We'll discuss that. Also, anything else that comes up to mind, we're going to hear some sound bites from Jay Grew, Chip Kelly. We're going to talk about the Notre Dame scandal. Yes, yes, the Notre Dame. How close is Chip Kelly to going to the NFL now? We're going to talk about that. Also, maybe a little NASCAR as far as the tragedy that took place on the dirt track and the individuals now dead and culpability on that. That and a whole bunch more here on Fantasy Sports and Politics, all brought to you by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So come to go there today and place your wager so you can get paid. We have a chat room, wide open and in living color, which I'm about to open right now, matter of fact. If you want to go there, you can say what you want to say, do what you want to do, but just remember, I can always put it on air. So don't be, you know, putting stuff out there that you don't want to share or you're ashamed of. That's all I'm going to say on that. If you want to call in and get your voice heard, you can always dial the number 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And it's all brought to you by, again, FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So with that said, I want to introduce my co-host. He already talked over me because he just can't help himself. JTATM, what's going on, JT?
Not much. Well, you noticed I kept my mouth shut because I realized my fault. And I'm trying to be better in doing not doing that, I should say. But I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. It's a great nice, comfortable day today on the East Coast where I live. And some preseason games are going to take place today, including my team's playing today. Hopefully they can rebound from what the kind of debacle they had last week. The ones that didn't play, as in Brian Cushing, Andre Johnson, and Arian Foster, are supposed to be playing today. So hopefully they inject some a better attitude and a better way of playing than what we saw for my Houston Texans last week. But I'm doing great.
Okay. All right. Well, since you talked about Houston Texans, I hope they play that way week one because we already have a bet in place, and I look to collect my $100 off of week one.
Yeah. What are you talking about? What is that?
I bet with the Skins and the Texans week one.
We have one? I didn't know we had one. I thought we were going to wait until it came up.
Well, it's coming up today. So we're
okay.
Going to do it.
Okay.
I mean, you can run down the bets we have already, but, you know, we'll get to that in a second.
Not a problem.
But right now, let's talk about something real serious here. And we talked about this a little bit off air. This Mike Brown situation. I'm not too happy about the whole thing. Also, there's some culpability on both sides of the ledger here, and I mean that by saying this. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let you chime in and say what you want to say, and we can debate it for a few minutes. But I'm blaming a lot of music, artists, and the killings in our own community for some of the behaviors that are going on right now. Not what led up to right now, but right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that Mike Brown was killed senselessly because the officer was scared or whatever it was that caused him to kill the kid. He shouldn't have did it. It was wrong. The fact that the police department didn't act quickly enough to squelch this whole thing as far as putting the guy's name out or showing why he felt he needed to do what he did. It's kind of bad. The fact that the, the station captain, he refused himself from the situation because it was one of his officers that I did the killing, which is right. You're not supposed to investigate it if it's one of your own officers. He turned it over to another sheriff or whoever. But he has no knowledge of the situation. Isn't good in my thought process. But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people out there complaining about what happened to Mike Brown. But some of these same people perpetuate the violence within our own communities. Something Judge Joe Brown or Hatchett, one of those guys, had sent a video up to President Obama talking about how to stop the violence in the black community with the cops. But he also mentioned that we need to police ourselves and things of that nature. Now, again, I don't know the full circumstance. I've seen a video of the entire incident. Well, not the entire incident, but from the time where the gentleman, Mike Brown, that is, was going down the street and the police are chasing him. Well, he's walking. They're running after him with guns pointed at him, and they walk him down for quite a bit and then all of a sudden open fire in the public in an open intersection where cars and stuff are going by. And there is no evidence of any type of weapons or anything like that in there, but I think it's senseless. I think that the police department, not just that police department, but these rash of killings by the police or by people of young African-American men, whether they were right or wrong, meaning the young kids or the black males, whether they were right or wrong, whatever it is they were doing, death is not the sentence that should have been given to them, especially by somebody not in a position to think soundly at the time. Let me put it that way. I'm trying to be politically correct because I don't want to get too far into this because we got a big show ahead. But those are my thoughts, JT. Tell me what you think.
Well, there's a lot of times that we have, as a community, because it has to do with a police officer, and for the most part, it's a white police officer doing something to a minority, and specifically right now we're talking about an African-American. All too often, we as a community, meaning the black community, jump to conclusions that the officer was in the wrong. Now, listen to what I'm saying here before anybody gets up in arms, including you, Victor, about what I'm about to say. There's been other cases that people have leapt to conclusions about what took place, and then they would have to retract or back up or not say anything because they misspoke before they got the true facts. But from what I understand, this person was in the middle of the street with hands raised. Hands raised, people, regardless of whatever he may have been suspected of doing. Hands raised, whether he was facing or his back was to the police. Doesn't make a difference. Hands raised, meaning I give up for the most part. And supposedly, from all intents and purposes, he got shot with no provocation. Is a extremely cause for concern and indignation and being pissed off at another incident of a police officer or someone in the law enforcement community having total disregard of a person of color, their life, I'm talking about, treated as less than human, I guess. That taking a life of someone that happens to be of a minority is no, I wouldn't say no big deal, but it's not valued as much as if they happen to be of the European lineage. Now, I'm looking at a video, okay? This is the video I'm looking at is after the fact, where it took forever for the police to even approach this guy as he lay in the middle of the street. And with a lot of spectators accumulating outside the tape, I don't condone anyone with the type of violence that took place in the looting. That serves no purpose except serving the purpose of the people who want to commit other crimes. Now, supposedly, the police saying that this guy was a suspected of having a strong arm robbery that he committed. That makes no difference. There's two different things going on here, and someone actually said this to me yesterday. Well, the guy was supposedly committed robbery. That has nothing to do with getting shot in the middle of the street if you had your arms raised.
Jerry,
when you get your arm,
I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna let you finish, but in that video of the strong arm robbery, it's two different people.
Well, I saw some pictures. I saw some pictures, and I'm looking at because you clued me in. I'm looking at the type of clothing this guy had on, and it's the photos I saw were sketchy at best. So I want to preface that as saying it, but it doesn't make a difference. That's what I'm saying,
correct,
Victor. It does not
correct,
make
correct.
A difference because even if he was suspected of murder, okay, even if he was suspected of murder, any kind of crime, when you are in the middle of the street and the police officer has a gun drawn to you and you raise your hands, that tells me I give up. And then right there, it tells you that the police officer has total control at that point because the guy says, I give up. You start approaching the guy and he makes a move, that's a different story. But if he has his hands raised and the police officer is facing him with a gun drawn, there's no reason to use deadly force. Absolutely no reason to use deadly force. Even if, I don't care what kind of crime he's accused of. There's no reason to use deadly force for the simple fact is raising your hands, in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure in everyone else's opinion, when you raise your hand in front of a police officer who has his gun drawn to you, and you put both hands, arms above your head, as in I give up, basically, you give up.
Yeah.
You don't expect to get shot.
I agree. I agree 110%. And especially not shot, what, 5-10 times? I know I heard, like, a bunch of bullets go off. A bunch.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch. And there was no need for that. I mean, I have some black friends that are, I don't know what their issue is, but whenever something like this goes on, they're totally on the opposite side of the black cause or whatever. I mean, even before they find out anything. Oh, well, he shouldn't have did this. I'm like, come on. Let's think about this. You know, and then once more information comes out, they're silent. They're silent about their anti-black comments that they post on Facebook, that they say. And I'm like, are you serious? You know, like, oh, well, you know, George Zimmerman was defending himself. He had a right to kill him. I'm like,
Let's not go there because a lot of people jump to conclusions, and this is not the same type of scenario.
Correct.
This is totally different when you have somebody raise their arms above their head,
submissive.
That tells
submissive.
Them I give up.
Yeah, they were being submissive. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, that's about all the time I want to spend on that today because there's several topics in sports that we need to talk about. And I want to start off with Notre Dame. Okay, I want to start off with Notre Dame.
Kelly at work again.
Before we do that, I'm going to end this segment by saying young men and women, no matter what color you are, no matter where you are, don't give anyone any idea of what it is, or don't feed into their stereotype. Don't feed into what they think you are or who you are. Be who you are going to be. Be proud of it. And leave a legacy of good things. I don't want riots. I don't want killings or any of that stuff to happen, but they happen. But in the wake of this, do not destroy your own neighborhoods. Do not destroy other neighborhoods. Do not go after all white people or all black people or all Spanish people or whatever. Don't feed into the stereotype. Don't do it. That just fuels the fire and puts down the thought process that there are only a few that act ignorant in every culture. So just don't do it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some football. All right? We're going to do some football. 6-7 means your boy FSP and JKT money here on the FSP Saturday edition. See you.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The master plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is the master plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports? Like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others. Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of Fantasy Sports and Politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, here on Saturday's edition of Fantasy Sports and Politics with my main man, my co-host, Jerry, the ATM, Taylor, also known as the Master, but I like to call him the ATM because he's going to pay me a lot. Trust, he will. We're back. It sounds like a little football. So let's start with a little college football real quick. Notre Dame. Looks like Notre Dame's going to have to abdicate some victories from a couple of seasons. Current and former players at Notre Dame have been singled out as cheating. Not to be confused with what happened to their quarterback. Their quarterback just failed some courses. These other players were caught cheating. And I guess he's the father or the athletic director. I don't know what you call him. But he had an impromptu interview yesterday or a press conference to identify some situations that are going on. The question is, is there an integrity problem in Notre Dame? Here's what we're going to learn or not learn, so to speak.
As much as Brian Kelly has tried to load up with excellent recruiting classes, these are kinds of losses that will really impact Notre Dame's ability to reach their goals. And then separate from that, you know, the university obviously has a very high reputation when it comes to academics and integrity. And so the more we learn about this investigation, the more concern there will be about will the university's reputation receive any damage going forward.
So, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Here's what we're talking about. Do I really care about Notre Dame's reputation? Maybe, maybe not. I recall a few years ago there was this big push for that Notre Dame needs to allow some lower, not lower level, that's bad choice of words, some less than reputable players into the university so that their football program can get back to prominence. And they said, no, they would never do that. It'd because of our reputation, because of the scholarly, so on and so forth. But it looks like even their scholarly folks have some bad things. Talk to me a little bit about this reputation and integrity issue that's fallen upon Notre Dame.
Well, where did Chip Kelly come from? And what kind of issues did he have before he left there or after he left there? And I'm not calling him out, but if it walks and looks and acts like a duck, it must be a duck. Why did this follow Chip Kelly to this esteemed? And I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but this is a very historic university with high integrity as one of its calling cards. and this is, doesn't sit well with the alumni for sure and the present-day administration, absolutely not. And they bring in Chip Kelly, and this happens. And it happened where he was before. So, but supposedly, from what the audio, the video clips I've seen, the president, I think it was the president of the university, said that Chip Kelly was unaware of this. In my opinion, that's what they're going to say. There had to be a reason why these kids, and I'm going to say alleged kids, I shouldn't say alleged kids, but a kid that allegedly accused of this, decided to do this.
I don't know, but I got a soundbite. I got a soundbite about Coach Kelly since you brought it up.
Okay.
And you're right. The politically correct thing to do is to stick by your coach. But behind closed doors, you know they're probably giving them business. But here's what Notre Dame had to say about their coach.
Kelly has the full support from Notre Dame President John Jenkins and Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick. Jenkins in Friday's press conference said there was no evidence Kelly or his staff knew anything about the situation. And Swarbrick even said Kelly was devastated when she told him the news.
So Kelly, who's had something like this happen to him before, apparently was devastated that this that information came to the forefront, and that he's going to be losing some games that he won, and there's going to be a lot of players that will be disciplined. Now here's the telling sign to me where Notre Dame really lies. The president and the athletic director, or the pastor, I don't know, priest, I don't know who he is, said that this could be a very long investigation into what happened. Translation, after the football season, and these players have played, and we get more money, the investigation might end after we go to a bowl game. Because right now, if they were to suspend any of these players, Notre Dame's chances of going to a bowl game are nil. Nil. Which also means to me, Chip Kelly will be hitting the NFL next year if somebody's fired. Which undoubtedly will happen. I really think that somebody's going to be canned in the NFL, and Chip Kelly's going to be on the first thing smoking to whatever city that is. Go ahead and finish your thoughts on Chip Kelly and where or what is going to happen with him, JT.
Well, you have said that he's devastated. Well, there can be different levels of devastation. Are you devastated that these guys got caught? Are you devastated that these guys did this? What kind of devastates? When you say devastated, are you devastated? Like I said, are you devastated because these guys got caught in something that you had probably, and I would say probably, may have you arranged to have to get done so these guys could be eligible to play football? Or are you devastated because these guys, unbeknownst to you or the coaching staff or anybody who had to do anything, of the coaching staff, went behind your proverbial back and decided to probably, as a group, get these whoever they got to do their work for them in order for them to complete summer courses. Now, these guys are young, and I'm not excusing that. And quite naturally, you and I both know we've seen it in numerous films that have to do with athletes in college and in real life, that the football program is treated differently and if you're a name player, basically a starter on a team, you're an asset, and you want to keep that asset playing on the field, you get a little assistance. They set them tutors. They label them tutors, among other titles, but they, in essence, do the work for you, so you can stay eligible to play football. And supposedly, that's what took place here. They may have had their name on it, but they didn't actually do the work. So, and usually. And I could be mistaken, but usually the coaching staff or someone in the coaching staff arranges for students, whatever students they are, they get them assigned to a particular player and have work that needs to get done. Either the player gets hand-fed this work. And they take them step by step to do it, or it gets done, and this assistant or tutor, in quotation marks, does a form. And usually the coaching staff knows about it and arranges it through a third party. So when they said that Chip Kelly's devastated, that's why I said, how is he devastated? Because he got caught, or because the fact is, he didn't know about it. Just all according of what kind of devastation it is.
Well, JT, you make some valid points. That's why I didn't interrupt you. What type of devastation is he feeling? And as of late, we've seen a lot of this type of stuff pop up with McCants at North Carolina. University of North Carolina exposed a bunch of stuff that was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
How a one-paragraph final paper got an A so the kid could stay eligible. I mean, these types of things are going on in pro sports because it's like pro sports, but in college.
Right.
In college. And Ed O'Bannon's situation, where he and his guys are still suing for the money for the likeness, this helps the thought process. Well, you know what? These kids are going to cheat. These kids are going to do whatever. Why should they really care when the university is making tons of money off of them and not giving them anything? I'm not saying it justifies any kid cheating or any administrator or coach assisting in any alleged cheating. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is you exploit the children or the young men so that your university can get billions of dollars. By the way, the SEC network, it went on the air, a couple days ago? ESPN, SEC, billions of dollars. Right there, ESPN, with their farm family of mother or whatever you want to call it, Disney, providing that money. How much of that money is going to the kids? Again, I'm not justifying any cheating. I'm not justifying any wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that there's a reason that this stuff is getting exposed. And some of these universities, as well as coaches, need to take some of the heat for it. I really think so. Now, I used to be a Notre Dame fan when I was younger. I admit I fell off. I started to like other universities and stuff like that. I'm not a particular college person. But because I'm getting my master's from OU, University of Oklahoma, I'm a Sooner. And I support the Sooners. But I don't support any of these types of activities. So we'll see what happens in the end. But my prediction, Chip Kelly is going to be leaving Notre Dame in short order. Maybe not Well, at the end of this year. At the end of this year. That's what I got. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's enough of that college mess. Unless you got something else you want to say, JC.
You know, there was an article. I don't know if you heard about this. This guy, oh, my God. I printed it out. I think I printed it out. Guy that, from the Cowboys, who got put into a self-induced coma. You hear about this guy?
And now
he's out of the coma. This was last year. I think he was a rookie. I think he was a rookie last year. He contracted some rare disease and got put into a self-induced or medically induced coma, I should say. That's out of the coma now and trying to make a comeback with the Dallas Cowboys. And
well, hold on. If it's a, so we're going to talk about the Cowboys in a second. But is this a story about redemption? Is it a story about his impact, or what is it about?
Story about making a comeback from medical condition that he had. I'm trying to find. I thought I had printed the article out so I could talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you what we do. We can talk about it in a second, but let's get ready to talk about the Cowboys. That's why I had up first, because I think they're going to come in last in the NFC East. So let's hear what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. First, there's some bull going on.
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
All right, it's about that time. So, I got a little lemonade going. I'm going to talk about these Dallas Cowboys. I got a soundbite I want to get to. And we're going to do what we normally do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about why it is that these Cowboys, in my opinion, are going to be last in the NFC East. Who's hot? Dez Bryant made waves last year when he compared himself to Calvin Johnson prior to the Cowboys' October 27th matchup with the Lions. But Bryant wasn't being ridiculous, as some posted. He finished the season with 199.4 fantasy points, just 19.2 points behind Megatron. He also had a higher catch percentage, 58.1 compared to Johnson's 53.5, and just one fewer touchdown catch, 13. Who's not? And I agree, Tony Romo has thrown for more than 4,100 yards every full season as he has played and started last year. He missed the last game of the season and finished with 3,828 yards, more than 1,000 yards less than 2012. But even if he had played and thrown for his average in that game, he would have not made 4,100 yards. Is this a sign of decline? It is, because the guy has muscle injuries, back injuries, calf injuries. He's not the future. The X Factor, Terrence Williams. Terrence Williams provides a glimpse of what a 1-2 punch could look like in the Cowboys' passing game. The 24-year-old rookie gave Dallas 44 receptions, 736 yards, and 8 starts. The departure of wideout Miles Austin leaves at least a couple dozen more receptions for Williams to take. Last year, this team was 64% pass, 36% run. And DeMarco Murray is hoping that that will change, along with a bunch of fantasy owners. JT, I got a soundbite for you, my friend. I got a soundbite for you. And it involves how bad the Cowboys' D is. And this is why I believe the Cowboys will finish last in the NFC East.
Here we go.
Slash that D and make it the Alice Cowboys, because they will have no D this year. When you really think about it, Sean Lee, their best defensive player, out for the season. Skandrick was their best cornerback, and so now he's going to be out for four games, and they also lose a pass rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence, who's out 8 to 12 weeks, probably not back till week 5. No pass rush, weaker coverage. That means bad Cowboy defense.
Not to mention that their famed LSU Tiger cornerback broke his arm, Claiborne, he got hurt. So he's going to be down a little bit. The Cowboys are in dire straits, and they are in need of a miracle. This gentleman coming out of his coma, trying to make this team. Hopefully he can help them, but I hope not in actuality, because I don't want the Cowboys to do that. But JT, if you got that story, you can jump on with that story and the synopsis of what I read about the Cowboys.
All right, let me start this. It was a defensive tackle, Amobi Okoye, who was drafted by the Texans in the first round in 2007. He in 2013, he had seizures and lost his ability to speak while at a hospital trying to figure out what the problem was. And he was, like I said, eventually put into a medically induced coma when the doctors discovered he was suffering from anti-NMDA encephalitis, which is a rare condition that's described as being in the million to one range. He lost 70 pounds while under treatment, including chemotherapy. He had to relearn many of the things we took for granted before getting to that point, meaning probably walking and whatever else. And right now he's practicing, he hasn't practiced in full with the Cowboys yet, but he's got a green light to start contact work on Thursday. He could play in the third preseason game, and he could have a shot of joining the Cowboys because of how bad the Cowboys' defensive line is. That's a hell of a comeback story from a guy that, at one point in his career, was put into a medically induced coma and basically was fighting for his life at a young age, and he's trying to make a comeback now.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, even that's not going to help the Cowboys, though.
Well, I'm just saying that's I came across this story, and I thought it was something I wanted to bring up because this guy still has the drive to want to be a football player, even after all he's been through. And I just got to wish him the best, regardless of what team he plays for. If he ever plays another down, just wish him the best, because right now he's done a lot just accomplishing what he's accomplished to get to the point where it's a possibility that he may get back on the football field and play the game he loves. So, with that being said,
I agree.
With that being said, the Dallas Cowboys, Tony Romo has been a staple in quarterback play in fantasy forever, as long as he's been in the league and a starter, as long as he's been healthy. And that's the problem. Dallas Cowboys have been shaky, offensive line, defensive line, defense in all its unglorious glory has been absolutely horrible, and that in turn gives Tony Romo fantasy relevancy because the defense is so bad they have to play and they get involved in a lot of shootouts. I still like the offense because there's a lot of minds and a lot of skill levels on this offense that can make whatever players that play on the offense, including Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray, Jason Witten, Terrence Williams, and especially Dez Bryant, to be fantasy relevant. Defense is absolutely horrible. Horrible. 32nd last year, and they lost key pieces. Key pieces, either they've gone to different teams or, like you described, they're suspended for a few games. What in God's name, I hate to put his name in there, but what in God's name does any Cowboy fan or anybody who thinks that the Cowboys are going to be better than 8-8 need to?
8-8
No. I'm saying they're going to be better than 8-8 Whoever the Cowboy fans or whoever thinks the Cowboy fans are going to be better than 8-8 because you're going to have to be better than 8-8 to win this division, and the Cowboys will not be better than 8-8 I don't know if you want me to give you what I think they're going
to
be, but they won't be. Okay.
And then once we do that, we'll give our fantasy starts or fantasy pickups or whatever. Obviously, we both agree that there's really nothing on defense to pick up. I mean, I'm being honest. I don't think there's anything on defense to pick up.
No.
But anyway, they open the season home with the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Win or loss?
Loss.
At Tennessee?
Win.
At St. Louis?
Loss.
Wow. Home from New Orleans.
Loss.
Houston.
Win. That hurt me, but I think they're going to win.
Yeah. At Seattle.
Loss.
The Giants.
Win.
Redskins.
Win.
Stop smoking that crap. Arizona.
Loss.
At Jacksonville in London.
Win.
They have a bye week, which is pretty good, coming in week 11. Then they go to the Giants.
Loss.
Home for Philly.
Win.
At Chicago.
Loss.
At Philly.
Loss.
Indianapolis.
Loss.
And they finish up in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
Loss. And bye-bye, Jason Garrett.
I agree with that part, too. So what is your final, Jesus, I can't remember.
Record.
Thank you, Jesus.
Record.
Yeah,
record.
Their final record, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Where's my brain?
Well, let me say this. The Cowboys are going to be better than 8-8
What?
They're going to be better than 8-8
Okay.
But not this year.
6-10 I give them 5-11 actually, but I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. And I do agree with you. I believe that it's going to be bye-bye, Jason. But this is how bad I think the Cowboys are going to be. Not even 5-11 I think they'll be in the race for Winston Moss this upcoming football draft. I think they're going to be in the hunt for Winston Moss next draft. And that's not because I don't like the Cowboys or I'm a Redskins fan. That's just being an observer and a football fan. Terrible. Now, let's go to the team that I think is going to be the second worst team in the NFC East. And we're going to talk about a rookie they have. His name is Devon Kennard. I'm talking about the New York Football Giants.
He appears to be one of those guys. He's a football player. He likes it. You know, he's physical. He learns well. He plays special teams. He plays on defense. So I think that experience has been good for him.
So we're talking about a kid that is going to contribute on special teams. That's good. But they need help in all areas. And we're talking about the New York Football Giants. And I was going to give them music. Should I give them music, JT?
You got to give them music. Give them music. Go right ahead.
They're going to need it. Okay. Who's hot? Hard to find a hot spot in Big Blue after last year's debacle in the New York's lackadaisical play over the last two seasons. The Giants did manage to snag a wide receiver in the first round of the draft in Odell Beckham.
he'll be asked to replace Hakeem Nicks and help Eli Manning recover from his worst NFL season. Now, I'm going to caveat this before I go on. Odell Beckham isn't a number one. Mario Manningham is not a number one. Victor Cruz is not a number one. Mr. Barden is not a number one. Or Reuben Randall is not a number one. But those are your leading receivers for the New York Football Giants. That's all I'm going to say on that. Who's not? Conventional wisdom says Manning could become a three-time Super Bowl winner at the end of this season because he is the face of a very unpredictable franchise. Right now, however, Eli is still reeking from last season. His 27 picks were 5 more than any other QB and 9 more than his touchdown total. First time since his rookie campaign that he has thrown more picks than TDs. The X factor is Jean-Pierre Paul, who was a non-factor last season, yet the defense somehow finished in the top 10. Veteran leader Justin Tuck is gone, and even though the Giants have brought in some pieces to shore up the defense, the success will largely depend on Pierre Paul's ability to bounce back. Last year, the Giants were 60% pass, 40% run. And I believe the addition of Rashard Jennings, that is going to shift a little. Not much, but a little. Only because the receivers are going to become undependable, and Rashard Jennings has an attitude right now that he didn't have when he was in Jacksonville, and he started to develop while he was with Oakland. With that being said, Rashard Jennings is my fantasy guy on the offense. And on defense, I'm usually a linebacker guy. I really am. But I think Mr. Roll is going to have another good year. The only reason why I say that is because the Giants are going to need to stop people from passing. And he's going to have to come up in the run a lot more this year. A lot more than last year. So Mr. Roll, Samari Roll, Trell Roll, and Rashard Jennings are my fantasy picks for this New York Football Giants. What you got, JT?
You know what? I got three guys. I got three guys on offense, and let me go for the offense guys first, because I got three guys on offense that I'm really looking at, and really trying to decide where and if I'm going to draft them. A couple of them I know I'm going to draft. Where is the key? First one I'm going to talk to, and I think he's going to be a sleeper. I think he's finally got his opportunity to get on the field and stay on the field more consistently than he was last year and the year before. I'm talking about Reuben Randall. I like Reuben Randall as a sleeper here. I think Eli is going to be using him along with probably – because he's going to be throwing short passes to Eli. West Coast offense, and Eli likes to push the ball down the field, but this is a different offense, which is a short passing game, which is a short West Coast offense. Excuse me. So if you're in the PPR league, you got to love Rashard Jennings. From what I've seen, especially the last preseason game, I'm just premising on a preseason game, you're really going to get a key on what they're going to do in the third preseason game, but you got a snapshot of what they're going to do with their running backs. And I like both their running backs. I like Rashard Jennings. I think he's going to get a lot of play running the ball quite naturally and also catching the ball out of the backfield. And I think at times, and it's key to find out what happens, because I think both these guys can be a number one running back. And I'm making a bold statement here. I think both these guys, Andre Williams and Rashard Jennings, Rashad Jennings has got the upper hand right now, and he's the number one. Andre Williams comes in to spell him. But I think both these guys can be number one running backs. I really love what I've seen in Andre Williams, but he's going to have to really outdo Rashad Jennings to take over that spot or get the most of the ball. So I like those three guys on offense. On defense, where do I go on defense? Man, oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go with a mainstay. I'm going to go with a guy that he was a beast in Carolina. Had difficulty keeping healthy, but anytime he was on the field, he was a beast. Came to this team last year and immediately became one of the leaders. I'm talking about the beast, John Beeson. I like him a lot, and he is a definitely a leader in the Giants' defense as a middle linebacker.
I like Beeson as well, but I don't know if he's going to be as healthy as he was last year. He has a history of being injured and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. But, I mean, again, I like all of your selections. The problem is Reuben Randall isn't that big of a factor only because they went out and drafted Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is supposed to be that guy that comes in and takes that starting position. And anytime Victor Cruz or anybody else goes onto a nationally televised show and says, we need to draft a wide receiver, and that is his position, that doesn't speak well for his teammates. Not at all. Mario Manningham might not even make the team. Reuben Randall is, well, you know what, I got enough. I like the Giants anyway, shape, or form this year, but I think they'll be better than the Cowboys. Let's go down their schedule. Ready, JT? Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
At Detroit.
This is going to be ugly. This is going to be ugly. Loss.
Arizona.
Loss.
Houston.
Loss.
Wow. And Washington.
Loss.
Atlanta.
Loss.
At Philly.
Loss.
Wow. Are you kidding? At Dallas.
Loss.
Hold on. You got them going 0-7. Does Tom Coughlin still have a job at this point?
Listen to me. What happened last year?
Oh, my. They didn't start off 0-7?
Would they start off?
Like 0-3 or something like that, but not 0-7.
Oh, okay, okay. And now they changed their offense. Now they changed their offense. They got rid of their offensive coordinator, brought somebody else in with a totally different offense Eli hasn't had in God knows how long. And
wow.
I'm not feeling them. I am not feeling them.
I see, and this is their easy part of their schedule. Oh, my goodness. Okay, they have a bye week after Dallas. They come back week 9, home for Indianapolis.
Loss.
Jesus. At Seattle.
Loss.
Wow. San Francisco.
Loss.
Dallas.
Win.
At Jacksonville.
Win.
At Tennessee.
Win.
Home for Washington.
Win.
At St. Louis.
Loss.
And finish up the season at home with Philly.
Win.
So you need to tell me they won't get their first win until week 12. And after that, they go on a four-game win streak before losing to St. Louis and then finishing up beating Philly. So you have them at 5-11?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm telling you. At Detroit, they're not winning that. home against Arizona, Arizona's defense, who's better in the defense? And Arizona has a Bruce Arian type offense, which is going to tax the Giants defense to no end. And it's early in the season, second game of the season, so it's not like weather really going to pay a cold weather is going to pay a problem. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. Home against Houston. Houston will beat them. Houston will beat them. At Washington, who's got a better offense? Who's got better pieces than Washington versus the Giants? I'd have to go with Washington. Better running back, better wide receivers, and I would probably say their defense will be on a par with Washington. So, in my opinion, a more versatile quarterback than Eli. Then they go and play Atlanta. Roddy White, Julio Jones, and doesn't make a difference. Well, it does make a difference. If it's Devontae Freeman, it's going to run wild all over these Giants. I can't see him beating Atlanta, even if they're playing home. Then they go on the road. Two division games, they go on the road back-to-back. At Philly, against that offense, ain't happening. At Dallas, I don't think they're going to beat Dallas in Dallas. It's going to be a shootout. And who's got better weapons, Dallas or the Giants? So the first seven games, I don't see the Giants winning. I don't see them. Give me the rationale that you can see the games that they're playing and who they're playing and where they're playing them at. The Giants win. Maybe Houston.
Okay.
Maybe Houston. Okay. I don't see them beating anybody else but
okay.
Houston in those first seven games.
I see them going 25 in the first. They're going to beat Houston and they're going to beat Dallas. Houston, because I just think they're just in total disarray. They're not together whatsoever. Even though they have Clowney and Watt and all of that, they're still trying to figure out their offense and who's going to be their quarterback. Not a good sign, especially at this stage. Dallas, for the obvious reasons, I think that Dallas, their defense is just going to let them down. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a shootout, but I think that New York has a better defense in that situation, and they'll find a way to score. It might not be, a lot, but they'll find a way to score. But I can agree that they'll lose all those games except for those two in the first seven. Now, when they come back off of the bye week, I see them losing a lot, yes. I see them losing to Indy, Seattle, San Fran. I see Dallas getting their revenge. And I think Jacksonville will beat them. I think they'll beat Tennessee. I think the Redskins are going to sweep them. St. Louis, I'm not too sure. It depends on if Sam Bradford's a quarterback or if they are down to their backup or not. And
it's
Philly.
At St. Louis.
They'll lose to Philly.
They still have a stellar defense. It's at St. Louis, and they got a stellar defense. They got one of the best defensive lines going. Eli and that pass rush, lights out.
I got you, brother. I could say 6-10, maybe even 7-9, but 5-11. My boy,
5-11. They're gonna be competing with the Cowboys bottom of the barrel.
I agree with that. They're gonna be competing with the Cowboys.
And
all right, we'll take a
wait a minute. And it's in my opinion, it's going to see at the end of the season if the Dallas is 6-10 or 5-11, and the Giants are 6-10 or 5-11, who gets pushed out the door first, Jason Garrett or Tom Coughlin?
Jason Garrett. I think both of them will be gone. That's why I think Chip Kelly is going to come to the NFL. And he Chip Kelly's in Philly. What's my man that's in Notre Dame?
I know
you just talked about him. Skip,
yeah.
Or something like that. Skip Kelly, I don't know. I can't remember his name. It's wild out here, guy. It's wild. All right, we're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back,
the final two NFC Eastern teams, or you're left with Philly and you're left with Washington, who will be number one? Sit tight. We'll be right back.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
Nick's a student of the game, and for him to get a chance to watch Tom up close and personal in terms of how he interacts, what he does, pre-snap, what he's doing post-snap, you know, a lot of times that you don't see on film because the camera's not on him. I think anybody can garner anything from that.
That was Chip Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, the coach of the Eagles. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Right now we're talking about the Eagles, and he was just talking about his quarterback, Nick Foles. There's a lot of stuff people are saying. He was a flash in the pan. It was a mistake for Philly to let go of Mike Vick. He's not going to be as good as he was last year because he caught up to Chip Kelly's offense. I don't know. But right now, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, and I want to give a big shout-out to someone who is a big Eagles fan. Still didn't pay her bet from several years ago, but NFL Fade Shot. Miss Phasia, I'm calling you out, you and your Eagles. Right now, here we go. Philadelphia Eagles, who's hot? Nick Foles, even though we just heard that he might have some issues, solidified a shaky quarterback situation in Philadelphia last season with a 27-2 TD interception ratio and an 8-2 record in 10 starts. He probably won't duplicate this in his league-leading 119.2 passer rating, but he'll pace an offense that could be the most dynamic in the league by season's end. He's not hot. The Eagles' defense isn't anything to write home about, though it's a long way from the bottom as it was in 2012. But if the offense gets quicker and crisper, as Kelly expects, logic says the defense will be on the field longer and face more passing plays with teams trying to match scores with the Eagles' offense. This unit may not get worse, but there's no reason to think it will get any better. The X factor. Even with Foles cementing himself as the franchise QB, the success of the offense depends on LeSean Shady McCoy, last year's leading NFL rusher with 1,607 yards from scrimmage. McCoy also had 52 receptions for 539 receiving yards. He'll need to have similar numbers for the Philly offense to be successful. Surprisingly, the Philadelphia Eagles was the most even ratio team in the NFC East with 50% pass, 50% run. 50-50. JT18 Money, what are your thoughts on what Chip Kelly had to say about this quarterback and this write-up before we give our fantasy defense and offensive players?
I like this offense. This offense is going to score some points. High-tempo offense, which a lot of teams that are copycatting this are going to be trying to institute, keep the defense extremely busy and off balance with not having a chance to really set the defense, putting a lot of guys in play, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, and the quarterback. I don't think he's going to play like he played. I said I didn't think he's going to put up the stats like he put up last year. But I still think he's going to be a very good quarterback, in my opinion. I think the subtraction of DeSean Jackson is really not going to slow down his offense, in my opinion. And I like this Chip Kelly offense. Second year into it, I think these guys are going to be even more in tune to what they need to do and their respective roles. They're getting a lot of confidence. They see what this thing could do and the possibilities going forward from what they accomplished last year. Young guys all bought in. There's one thing I've read this and it holds true. Chip Kelly, one of the things he looks for in his young players is high intelligence, quite naturally along with the ability. But he looks for guys that have a high high football IQ, and a lot of these guys, if you see them, do have that along with their skill level. I see big things happening for this team. The only thing that may hold them back is their defense, which is not on par with a San Francisco or a Seattle. But their offense can sure to make up for that.
That is true. Offense can make up for it. However, I think they're going to get beat down over the season because of their offense. We saw in the first game the Philly versus Chicago game, where the Bears played a zone defense. They zone blitz a lot. And that rattled Mr. Flores a few times when he threw some interceptions. The offense sputtered. There's hope that will look different in this upcoming game that they got going on this week. But it didn't look much better versus the Patriots. I mean, Nick Foles was supposed to be learning from Tom Brady, just like RG3 should have been learning from Tom Brady. You know, I don't know what he learned, but last night's game with Philly and the Patriots, Garoppolo looked way better in that offense with the first teamers than Nick Foles did with his first teamers. I don't know how many yards Shady had. I don't even think Dennis Foles played. But it didn't look too good to me, and I'm kind of second-guessing my pick of Nick Foles in some of my fantasy leagues. Well, I only drafted two, but I don't know if I'm going to get Nick Foles over Matty Ice again, if given the opportunity. But with that being said, fantasy goodness is definitely on this team offensively. You got Darren Sproles, who in some leagues isn't even getting drafted until like the 10th or 11th round. That might not be a good idea to leave him there that late, mainly because he's going to be a big impact. Offense, special teams, he's going to get the ball thrown to him a lot. You put him and McCoy on the field at the same time, you don't know who's getting the ball or how they're going to get the ball. But I'm not picking him as my fantasy guy. Shady McCoy, in my opinion, should be the number one overall pick, in my opinion, based upon his team, his schedule, and his abilities. I honestly think Jamaal Charles should be number three or even number four in fantasy, in any type of fantasy league, standard or PPR, because of what's around him. But with that being said, I'm looking for, wait for it, Riley Cooper to be the fantasy stud on his team. Yes, that Riley Cooper. I mean, Jeremy Macklin, who has a history of injuries, isn't going to be as good as he should be and could be, but there's another receiver, Mammoth, I can't get his name correct, that plays for the Eagles. The kid looks pretty daggone good. He's another guy to watch out for. But I believe that Riley Cooper is going to be the Eagles, one of their best fantasy players this year. So I pick him. On the defensive side, Kerry Williams, the outspoken guy, he might be their lone bright spot. Even though I like their linebacking core, I really do, I just don't like the fact that they're going to be on the field that much. That does mean that these guys are going to have a lot of opportunities to make tackles, but I think Kerry Williams is going to get a lot of balls thrown his way, so he's going to have a lot of opportunities for tackles and interceptions along with pass deflections. So with that being the case, those are my two fantasy picks for the Eagles. JT.
The Eagles. God. You know, I want to say off the grid a little bit. You went with Riley Cooper. I'm going to go with the rookie who showed out last night, Jordan Matthews. I like him a lot. I think he's probably going to start slow in the beginning of the season, but he's going to come on big time toward the middle and end of the season. But I do like Jordan Matthews as a sleeper and wide receiver, and we'll be talking about that. And all the wide receivers of fantasy on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with the master plan with me and NFL Explorer Lance Anderson. Come join us tomorrow and bring a pencil and piece of paper. Take notes. You may hear some surprises. You may hear the same some other stuff, but we're definitely going to keep it interesting. Anyway. The other guy I like on the offense is the Zach Ertz. He seemed like he may be a big red zone target for Nick Foles, best friend of a young quarterback or a quarterback, really, that's in trouble and wants to get rid of the ball, is the tight end. And the Philadelphia Eagles have two good tight ends, Brent Celek, who's been there for years, and Zach Ertz, who's up-and-comer, and I think he's going to be a nice sleeper this year. On the other side of the ball, I'm going to go to number 91. You know what? No, I'm going to go with the guy I've liked for a while, and I still like him. Number 59 in your program, inside linebacker, D'Amico Ryans.
Nothing for D'Amico other than D'Amico. Okay, all right. Well, I like D'Amico as well. However, I think that teams are going to be passing a lot on Philly's defense. That means that inside linebacker, he's either going to be covering the running back or he's going to be spying the quarterback. And that doesn't bode well for a fantasy guy, especially if there's a lot of passing going on. But you never know. You never know. That's a sneak pick for somebody that needs a linebacker as opposed to just a regular defensive player. But let's go over the schedule real quick. And the way you sound, sounds like you got them winning the East, but I don't think so. Here we go. Home for Jacksonville.
Win.
At Indianapolis.
Loss.
Home for Washington.
Win.
Whatever. At San Francisco.
Loss.
Home for St. Louis.
this is really going to be tough. St. Louis defense carries, I mean, travels. Win. It's home.
Home for the Giants.
Win.
Bye week. At
loss.
Arizona.
Loss.
At Houston.
Too much offense. Too much offense. Win.
That's right. Hurt yourself some more. Home for Carolina.
Win.
At Green Bay.
Loss.
Home for Tennessee.
Win.
At Dallas.
Loss.
Home for Seattle.
Loss.
Dallas.
Win.
At Washington.
Loss.
At the Giants to finish the season.
Win.
That puts them where in your book?
9-7.
That's respectable. I'd have been 9-7. We have some different people winning and losing certain places, but I've been 9-7 as well. I honestly think that Carolina's going to beat them. I think that Dallas will beat them. Not many wins for the Cowboys. I think that's going to be one of them. I believe that one game, St. Louis, that's going to be tough. I agree with you, it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Again, it's in Philly. That defense does travel, but the question is, will the offense travel with it? And I'm going to say yes, because I think Tavon Austin is going to be the X factor in this game with St. Louis and Philly. Philly has power, air power superiority over St. Louis, but the problem is, will Nick Foles get the ball off? I don't know. I really don't know. And that could be a serious problem against that front four or even front seven of the St. Louis Rams. But 9-7 is where I see them as well. That's not a bad look. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up to the end of this show, but we're also coming to the last team in the NFC East and in the NFL that we're going to cover. We've covered 31 teams to this point. It's time for the big dog to come out and play. And since the big dogs are trying to play, I'm going to play the soundbite first from head coach Jay Gruden about being patient with RG3.
With every young player, you have to have some patience, but you also have to understand that position, there's a lot more responsibility on his shoulders. He's got to make a great decision taking the ball from center, handing it off to the back, getting us in the right run, the right protection, throwing the right guy in each pattern. So he's got a lot more responsibility than the average guy.
And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the Washington Redskins. I've gone on record, I'm going to do it again, by saying that I believe RG3 will throw for 3,000-plus yards because Alfred Morris is going to run the ball in upwards of close to 400 times this year. That is how Jay Gruden is going to protect RG3. I really believe so. With that being said, I got to play special music for a special team because they're such a great, great team, in my opinion. And maybe I'm a little biased, but at the same time, I think my team is better than Jerry's team. Ah! That time, I said it. Here we go. Yeah. I had to play this. Just for JT. Just for JT. No chaser. You ain't catching them. Who's hot? DeSean Jackson had a career year in 2013 with 82 receptions, 1,332 yards, and 9 TDs. He moves to an offense in Washington that will look to utilize his big ability. His targets won't be as numerous as they were last year in Philly, but they will be plentiful with the Redskins looking to return some pop to their offense. Now, who's not hot? And I kind of disagree with this, but I understand it. The Redskins brought back 34-year-old safety Ryan Clark 8 years after he left town to help form a dominant secondary in Pittsburgh. Clark, a regular on ESPN, is already preparing for his post-NFL life, which means even he sees the writing on the wall. Don't expect Clark to bring any magic to Washington's defensive backfield. I disagree with that. I think he can organize that secondary and put people in the proper position. He might not make a lot of tackles, but he can put them in the right position. The X factor. With Mike Shanahan, a legendary harvester of running backs, gone, and with the addition of Deshaun Jackson, Alfred Morris won't come close to 335 carries he had in 2012. I disagree. I solely disagree. Still, he averaged 4.6 yards per carry last year, comparable to his 4.8 in 2012. That same effort should get him another 1,000-yard season. Last year, the Redskins were 57% pass, 43% run. I look for more of a balanced offense with more of Alfred Morris. JTATM money. You know how I
feel. You know, the Jay Gruden is a very he's a pass happy coach. He was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati, and Andy Dalton threw the most he's ever thrown in the NFL. I don't see that changing here. I mean, they had good running backs in Cincinnati. Every coach has their style. I don't think it's going to change just because he comes to Washington and has Alfred Morris. He's going to use Alfred Morris, absolutely. But I think this is going to be a pass-happy offense. And Alfred Morris hasn't been known to be a huge pass catcher. So when it comes time to pass, Alfred Morris is going to be out. Roy Helu or some facsimile of that can catch the ball out of the backfield will be in. They have offensive weapons, Pierre Garçon, Andre Roberts, Deshaun Jackson, Santana Moss, Jordan Reed. Who am I leaving out? They have offensive weapons. Excuse me?
I was saying a bunch of folks.
Yes. So they have quite a few weapons at their disposal that I can guarantee that Jay Gruden and the way his offensive philosophy is, he's going to use all of them, including the man with the gun in his hand, RG3. Offense. Big key is RG3. Huge key, RG3. And the defense playing better than they have played in the past. That's going to push the Redskins either in front of the Eagles or behind them.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love my team. I really do. And with all of the talent they have on offense, the one guy that I believe is going to be a big difference here is Andre Roberts. Andre Roberts has gone on record and said he wants to be the kick returner. He wants to return kicks and punts, which is great because he has the ability to do so. But that also tells me I don't know what's going to happen with Santana Moss. In 2 games, I haven't seen Santana Moss play. I mean, well, the first game, I should say. I didn't see him play versus the Patriots. They played Cleveland Monday night, national spotlight. Santana Moss could be in a transition stage. Hopefully they keep him, but the Redskins have a bunch of young wide receivers that are talented. But I think Andre Roberts is going to be that X factor because of the kick game ability, as well as I believe he's the third wide receiver right now. Allen Robinson is looking pretty good himself. I thought he might have been cut because he drops the ball too much. But they have a ton of talent there. A ton. One bad thing for Santana might be the fact that he's older and he has a lot of money on the books as opposed to some of these younger guys. We'll see. We're about to go in overtime right now, ladies and gentlemen. So you're going to catch our information about this team in overtime right about now. Okay. So, JT, my team, my dude, I'm going to tell you that Andre Roberts is the offensive guy fantasy-wise. I'm also going to tell you a guy that plays defense that is little known only because he's been injured the past couple years, but he's going to actually step in and be a very strong inside linebacker. I'm talking about Kenson. He's the other inside linebacker with Perry Riley. I don't think Riley's going to have the type of year or the type of career that everybody thinks he's going to have stepping in for London Fletcher. I think Kenson will. Kenson is a very, very talented guy if he can stay healthy. I like Bryant Arakpo and Kerrigan and the outside. The young linebacker they drafted possibly could step in and be a great outside linebacker. I don't know. But I'm going to pick Kenson and Roberts as my offensive and defensive players, fantasy-wise, to look out for the Washington Redskins. Your thoughts?
My thoughts? Well, I always say the best friend for a young quarterback, even though he's got a nice arm, he's got a rocket for an arm, is a tight end. He had concussion problems last year. They're all healed up. He's all healed up. Very athletic, young tight end. In this offense, I think he's going to be used quite a bit in the middle of the field. I like Jordan Reed on the offensive side. On the defensive side, I'm a linebacker type of guy, and I'm looking at these linebackers, and one guy that I really like that he's played well for the Washington Redskins is number 56. No, it's not Lawrence Taylor. It's Perry Riley. I like Perry Riley in his defense, and I think he's going to do well.
Okay. He will, but I don't think he's going to have the type of numbers that everybody's projecting him to do. Here we go. Here's that first game that we need to put on the table. We're not going nowhere until we get this out of the way.
What's that?
It's going to be the Redskins going to Houston. First of all, of course you know I'm picking them to win.
Excuse me?
Of course you know I'm picking my Skins to win.
Why would you do that? That would be a foolish move to make.
Well, not as foolish as you making a bet against me. But, of course, I know you are because you said you were in the same realm.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, you did.
I got old person disease. I got old person disease. Remember you told me I was an old guy. Can't remember nothing.
Old person disease? Okay. Really? Okay. I see how this is going to go. So what's going on? Are we betting or are we not betting? Because from what I heard from many of our conversations, that we were going to bet the same amount on this game as we did on your stinking Houston Texans. Here's what I want you to do, Jerry. I want you to run down all the bets that we have, the parameters and the dollar amounts.
Okay, hold on a minute here. I got to get them all together here. I don't have them all together, but we have a bet that the Texans would go. Your bet was that they would be They wouldn't win more than six games. They would not win more than six games. 7-9 is a push. 8-8, I win. That's a $100 bet.
Correct. Correct.
I think we had one with Arizona. Didn't we have something with Arizona?
You said you wrote it down, young man.
I did. I'm looking for it, okay? I got it written down in a book where each one is. Let me see where I can find it here. Hold on a minute.
The Book of Integrity.
This is this. Ladies and gentlemen,
while Jerry looks for it, let me just tell you guys, Jerry's going to lose every last bet that he makes with me this year. And it's not even going to be funny. I'm going to enjoy spending his money. I am going to enjoy it because he's going to pay it. We have, I believe, two more bets that he should have
written
down.
We do?
Yeah. Yeah. Because one involves – you wouldn't do the job. Go ahead.
The other one, the other one involves the Arizona Cardinals playing the Washington Redskins. I said
correct.
The Arizona Cardinals was going to win. You said, no, they're not.
That is correct. And that also is how much?
That's just at the Ben Franklin again.
Okay. And there was.
And what do you think the other one is?
It wasn't the Jaguars because you were too girlish to do that one. It had something to do with your Texans again, if I'm not mistaken.
Really? Hold on. No, that's the one I told you about. You said they wouldn't win six games.
No,
I
but
said
there
they
was
would...
another one. There was another Texans deal, I believe.
Yeah, it's the game Washington versus Houston.
Yes, but that one didn't get made yet.
Well, it's getting made right now.
Oh, it is? Okay, so we have more records saying he's going to make the bet for Benjamin Franklin with Washington and Houston. And,
what,
you know, that's payable at the end of that game. So
what bet
right?
is that?
Houston and Washington.
I don't
That's
remember.
What you just said. You just said that. You know what? It's on tape. That's all I got to say. So that is $100 as well, correct?
That is correct. That
and
is
payable.
You are going to be playing the first game September 7th.
Correct.
At Reliant Stadium. In
mm-hmm.
Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not win that game.
Whatever. The point is, that is payable on the 8th of September, correct?
Well, of course.
All right. Y'all heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all heard it.
That's correct. Am I right about that, Victor? When it happens, I don't want you crying and saying,
No.
The check's in the mail.
I want my money on the 8th.
No.
PayPal.
We want our money on the 8th. So whoever wins, we want our money on the 8th. Whoever wins.
What?
So,
the rest is going to win.
But see, I'm an all-inclusive here. You're on one-sided. I'm saying whoever wins gets their money on the 8th.
Okay. I mean, that's fair for you to say, but I'm telling you I'm going to win, so therefore you should go ahead and get my money right.
Well, but since you are a Washington Redskins fan, I expect you to say that. I expect you to have that confidence in your team. But when
of course.
You go home or when you finish watching the game and
I'll be at work, actually.
Whatever. When you finish watching the game, whenever you watch it or get the results of the game, and after you pick your jaw up off of the floor after you get beat, then remember, on the 8th, PayPal. And you can best believe, like I've always done, I say thank you very much.
Oh, I'm going to say thank you very much because I'm going to make sure I mention it on the extra point with the NFL Exporter Monday. I'm definitely going to mention it. I'm going to say whether I received the money or if I didn't receive the money. And then you...
You're gonna put me on. You're gonna put you. Wait a minute. Besides the wager, since you've laid it out like that, besides the wager, whatever happens on September 7th, we come back on September 8th on the NFL NFL Exporter Show. And
the extra point.
Talk about it.
It's called the extra point.
The extra point. I'm sorry. The extra point. And we'll talk about it. How's that?
Hey, no, it's no need for you to come on. What you coming on for, dog?
Oh, see now you must be in a cold environment, and you're losing your
go there. because
the fact is, you're saying that if you lose and you won't be going on the extra point.
No, no, no,
is that what you're telling me?
Sir, I'm going to be on the extra point, and I will be talking about how you will be paying me, or you have paid me, because
okay.
You know.
Well then
all that matters.
If you're going to be on there, then why not me? Why not? I not get on there and talk about the
your loss.
Well, not necessarily my loss. I mean, it's a possibility, but it's a football game. Hey, you ever heard this? They've even made a movie about this, Victor. You know where I'm going with that?
No, but go ahead.
Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, that was a terrible movie.
Any
put it out of my mind.
Given Sunday. Remember that.
You're absolutely right. Any Given Sunday.
And they're playing in Houston. And they have their whole complement of players, as long as they don't get hurt, whole complement of players showing up and waiting for the Washington Redskins. And the fact is, just think about this. It's the first game of the season, so you can that game plan for the Washington Redskins is being worked on as we speak.
Okay. That's not a problem. I'm not worried about that.
And home.
They're going to need some time. It's okay. I'm going to enjoy my $100 on the 8th. I might even take my coworkers out to lunch, but we'll see.
We'll
long
see.
As you put that in my PayPal on the 8th, we're good.
We'll
good,
see.
Good.
We right, will see. We will see.
Let's go over this schedule real quick so we can get off the air. Of course, we differ on game one, but game two, home for Jacksonville.
Win.
Absolutely.
Loss.
Home for the Giants.
Win.
At Seattle. No, excuse me.
Loss.
Home for Seattle.
Loss.
Whatever. Well, of course, we disagree on this one as well. At Arizona.
That's a loss.
Whatever. Home for Tennessee.
Win.
At Dallas.
Loss. And I may want to change that.
Yeah, I think you better. At Minnesota.
Win.
Bye week 10. Then they're back home for Tampa Bay.
Win.
At San Francisco.
At San Francisco, loss.
I might be at that game too. At Indianapolis.
Loss.
Home for St. Louis.
I'm going to give him a win there.
At the Giants.
I'm going to get another win there.
Home for Philly.
Another win.
And they finish up home with Dallas.
Four-game winning streak end of season.
And their ending record with you is?
9-7.
They'll be 10-6, 11-5. Ah, the poor man, the poor man, the poor man.
That's the fan in you. That's not the realistic.
No, that's realistic. That's realistic. Because those two games are the differences in our bet. Those are the two wins. I disagree with one or two of your wins and losses, but once you balance it out, the actual difference is between our bet, Houston and Arizona. So that's why I have them at 10-6, 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
So that would not be the fan, that would be the sports announcer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, JTAT Money has put his foot in his mouth yet again. $300 coming my way. One, on September 8th. Two, once it's impossible for the Houston Texans to get above six wins. Three, it will be after October 12th, so October 13th, I'll have made a wonderful life for myself because I get to destroy Mr. ATM there on the Extra Point live every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific with the NFL Explorer. I'm going to have me some fun. Ain't that right, JT?
Whatever.
Stop hating, dude. Stop hating. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Another thing we're going to do this upcoming year is we're going to give you a fantasy lineup. A fantasy lineup for the week. How this works is we're going to give you our fantasy quarterback, running backs, two receivers, a tight end, a kicker, and a defense for that week. They may or may not be on our teams, but we're just going to tell you, out of all the players in the NFL, these are the people we feel will have the best fantasy week. And you can go to FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever and come on board, because that's what Jerry and I are going to do. We're going to play a little fantasy one-day league pretty much every week here, where it costs $1, $1 to $2, to create your own fantasy team. And we're going to have up to 20 people in the league. We're going to invite you all to come. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to give you some leagues, some players, and then we're going to go in and we're going to have our little fan duel or fantasy or draft team duel, however you want to put it. Does it sound good to you, JT?
Sounds fine to me.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, stick around for that in the upcoming weeks. Also, I want to thank you for listening to our show, Fantasy Sports Politics, Saturday edition, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. We have a little fun here. We try to keep it serious but fun when we give you our information, so take with a grain of salt. However you want to take our information, you know, use it, abuse it, throw it away, whatever. Do what you want to do. But we have a proven track record. People call into our show time and time again for help. And time again, we give them successful information. That's all we got. I breed success. JT breeds my money. He also breeds success, too, unless he's going against me. So, you know, it is what it is. But with that being said, JT, you got anything you want to put out there before we get off these airwaves?
You know, I don't have anything to say. I'm all spoken out. I don't have anything to say. I'm just wanting to get these games going on, get my first $100 in the first week, and then go on from there.
Slim, you don't know. Okay. I'm gonna enjoy taking that money. I'm going to really enjoy taking that money. I really am.
Usually people who talk this much usually are feeling the pressure. But that's okay. I understand.
Well, I believe there's a game coming on right about now. It's a preseason game. Am I correct? Is one scheduled to come on right about now?
Not to the best of my knowledge. Let me just see if I'm wrong about that.
I might be wrong.
It's 4 o'clock is the earliest game, and that comes on with the Green Bay at St. Green Bay and at St. Louis.
Okay.
4 o'clock.
I'm making sure. 4 o'clock, Green Bay, St. Louis, and I'm gonna enjoy that game as I enjoy all games as I watch Jerry lose to me again and again and again. Didn't I find it? Yay!
Oh, well, I think you're losing your mind here. I really believe you lose your mind, but that's okay.
I'm not losing my mind. You will be losing yours once you see that you have to pay me again and again and again. One thing I want to say to folks out there, because we didn't talk about it, is there's some good UFC fights coming on today on Fox Sports 1. Again, I'm trying to convert Jerry. I don't know if it's going to happen, but one can always hope. So check it out if you get a chance. Let me give you a good time that's going to come on. I think it's coming on after the Yankees-Rays game. No, I am mistaken. UFC Fight Night comes on at 10 p.m. Eastern, and it's Vitor Belfort versus Ryan Bader versus a former NFL player, Mr. St. Croix. Young St. Croix is pretty good. He's a submission guy. With a little grooming, this kid could give Cain Velasquez a run for his money. But it's happening in Bangor, Maine. But it's happening at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports 1. So check that out if you're into some MMA. Actually, you might have a good matchup there. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we have concluded all of the NFL teams. My next show will be on my daughter's birthday, but I'm also doing a bunch of drafts. So I might be doing a live draft on this show next week as Jerry takes control of everything, and I talk about my draft as I'm doing it, and Jerry goes over some stuff. But I might also do IDPs, individual defensive positions. So, that's my show for next week. I don't know if Jerry.
Wait, you won't
any...
be doing the show next week?
No, I'm doing it. But what I'm saying is I'm going to cover IDPs, but I also might be doing a live draft at the same time.
Okay.
So I might need you to run the board.
Well, we'll both be in a live draft next week.
Okay. Well,
guys with big shoes.
That's right. So we'll be talking about our draft there.
Hello.
On the air. That's right.
Hello.
So, I'll let you do a little championship rant in. Go ahead and get the championship rant in real quick. Go ahead.
What's that? When you're a championship, you don't have to rant. You just, it is what it is. You know, it's out there. I won this league. Our draft is going to be next Saturday at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time, half hour before our show starts. And Victor will attempt. I think we have 10 teams or 12 teams. I forget how many teams we
12.
Have. It doesn't make a difference.
It's 12.
We have 12 teams, and Victor will attempt to not be the 12th person at the end of the season in the standings.
You know what? Go ahead.
So I hope I'm gonna let me put it this way. We're gonna be drafting as we come on to the show. So I hope Victor, in his infinite wisdom, has studied intensely, because I know it killed him last year for me to win it, and he wants so badly to outdo me this year. So I hope for his sake that he can miraculously try to do that. I doubt it'll happen, but we have to give him A for effort. How's that?
Okay, you know what? All right, you've had your moment to shine, Mr. Champ Peon. Yes, Peon.
Two-time champion. I'm looking right at him. I can send you a picture if you want to see him.
I got a picture for you, punk. Anyway, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry did win the championship last year. Now, last year, our division was the best division.
Mm-hmm.
No one in our division finished below 500. No one. And if not for the rules, I possibly could have been in the playoffs, but I believe the rules are set up for all the division winners to get a spot in the playoffs, which I'm cool with. I'm cool. It is what it is. That's the way things are. But I'm coming out with a vengeance this year. And Jerry knows. He knows. Had I been in the playoffs, I would have won.
With the lineup I had, I'm going to tell you right now, with the lineup I had at the end of the season, no one was going to beat me. No one. You see the numbers I put up. No one was going to beat me. No one.
Whatever. We shall see. But, yes, we'll be doing that draft next week. I have like a couple drafts that day, but it's my baby girl's birthday, so I probably won't be doing too much other than showering her with whatever it is she wants. But with that being said, it's football season time, guys. And at Buffalo Wild Wings on the 23rd, it's National Fantasy Football Day. They're trying to make it a real holiday. If you have a local draft, go to Buffalo Wild Wings, reserve your spot. Do your draft there. They give you these wonderful draft kits. I mean, they're awesome. $100 worth of free food and all this other stuff. It's pretty good. I did it last year. So,
really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They let you get on their Wi-Fi if you want to digitally put in your picks, but they give you a draft board, the stickers, $100 worth of food coupons, $10 each, but you got to use them once the season starts. You can't use them right then and there. A flag for the champion that they can put on whatever they want, like, you put those flags on your cards and stuff. Pretty good deal, man. It's a pretty good deal. All you got to do is reserve it at the local Buffalo Wild Wings. So, with that being said, guys, it's been real. Come back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. I want to thank my co-host, JTATN Money, for being here and being the guy that he is, true person, good friend. That's the last good thing I'm saying about him until after football season. And you have been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on.